Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
But they're there. These men, through the power of God, walked into another dimension, and God allowed all these men to still see them, totally unhurt, occupying the same space as they would have been, right there in the fire. Not even the smell of fire was on them when they came out. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies," changed the king's word, "that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver them after this sort. I make a proclamation. Everyone in my kingdom," and the kingdom was vast, "shall make no disparaging word against the God of the Hebrews." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Oh, I bet that made those other fellows very angry. Thought we had them there. How dare the king elevate these Hebrews to rule over our councils? Chapter 4, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Chapter 4, the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Sounds like he's finally figured it out. This God who he knew and was serving. And interesting enough, Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote chapter 4. True believer now, but still full of pride, and will still face the punishment for pride in his life. "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine home, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions in my head were troubled me. Therefore made I a decree, bringing in all the wise men of Babylon before me, they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And it then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof, because they had no power of it. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God," small g, "and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream, that I may have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth." I saw this incredibly great tree who reached up to heaven. Its branches reached up to heaven. And there was no end to the size of the tree. It was enormous. It reached to the ends of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the burrows thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. Everything was wonderful. Everything that lived under the tree got plenty to eat, and there was wealth. This is not about a tree. "I saw in the visions of my head upon the bed, and behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. He had a good book of the, you got to go to the book of Enoch to understand what a watcher is. You know, I've often wondered why God, all-knowing, all-seeing, why he would occupy his time watching every little aspect of humanity. And he doesn't. Book of Enoch says that. He placed 200 watchers to watch over the earth, angels, assigned to specific areas. And each of those watchers had a company of angels under them. And each of those companies had a smaller company under them. Thousands of angels running around, keeping an eye on mankind and reporting back to the main watchers who reported back to God. With some of these watchers that rebelled and came down and procreated with women. Left their first estate, as Jude said. Left God's kingdom to enjoy the lusts of the flesh. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from the branches. So the angels told to come down and chop the tree down and just decimate it. But like I said, it's not a tree. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let this portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. So, cut the tree down, chop off its branches, destroy its fruit, put a band of iron around it, the stump, so that when it does grow again, it cannot expand beyond its original size. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now, we've changed from a tree to him. This story is completely about Nebuchadnezzar as a result of his pride. He's just come through a very proud period where he commanded the entire nation to bow down to his golden image. Even though he knows God and is a servant of God, the pride within him, the fleshly pride within him, is in control. And because of this deal with the fiery furnace, he has seen the true God and has repented in his heart. But it doesn't matter what you do, Christian. I don't care how much repentance you have for the sins that you've done. You'll pay for them in your flesh. That's also a recurring theme in this Bible. Jesus Christ came to save your spirit man. One day he can stand before God in God's kingdom. I don't always say heaven, because heaven's a very special part of God's kingdom. And very few of us Christians will get there. Whole nother sermon. It doesn't matter how much repentance you have for the deeds you've done, especially if you know what you're doing is wrong. You will pay for it in your flesh. And Nebuchadnezzar is getting ready to pay for it in his flesh. Even though his heart has come around, but now judgment must come, America. And judgment is coming to this great Christian nation, whom this Bible says was a golden cup in my hand. Christ says this, you are a golden cup in my hand. Now you're a cup full of abominations and the blood of saints. But I have one more mission for you. Protect the nation of Israel in one of these last time battles. America is in this book. Catch on WVFFradio.com. Between the Lines, a time such as this. This matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This is going to be done to prove that God is in control of this land. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. still a little bit of non-understanding. You see that S on the end of God's? He gets it, then he kind of doesn't get it. Gets it, kind of doesn't get it. Kind of like it was for me in algebra. Man, one day it would click, and I would have it. And a month later, how did that work again? Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished by 1 hour, for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Wow, how do I tell this to the king? This is bad. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. He gives him a little leeway there. He says, okay, give it to me. I know it's something bad. I can feel it. Go ahead. There'll be no retribution. I'm not going to kill the messenger. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thine dominion to the end of the earth. Yes, this tree represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, which stretched to the limits of the known world, civilized world at the time. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beast of the field till 7 times pass over. He says, your kingdom is going to be destroyed, and you're going to be removed from the throne for 7 years. And there'll be a band of iron placed on the root so that it can never become greater than it was. Limits. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass and ox as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will. Punishment for your pride, because you know who the Most High God is. You've said it from your lips many times, but you still have pride, and you still prop yourself up occasionally. You make statues to yourself. God is going to show you, you rule this kingdom because he decreed that you rule this kingdom. Not only is he going to take the kingdom from you, he's going to turn you into a wild man. You're going to live in a field naked and eat grass for 7 years. That's a pretty harsh punishment. You got to keep God focused in your life, Christian. You will pay for the sins in this flesh that you commit while you're here. So many countless examples. David, for one, you know, had the blessings of God, the heart of God, then sinned very badly, knowing the whole time he was doing it, what I'm doing is a transgress against God. God deals out the punishment. Now you'll have strife coming from your own family. Your own sons will try to kill you and take over your kingdom. And because you've done this, also, the sword will never leave your family. You will have to fight for existence. All the way to modern times, Israel fights for its existence every day. Because of the sins of David, not only did he pay for it in his flesh, his family line has paid for it forever. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have none. That the heavens do rule. Thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. After this, Your pride will be broken, and you will know that God in heaven rules this world. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thine sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Okay, maybe, Daniel says, maybe, if you change your ways, maybe God will change his mind, or maybe he'll lessen the severity of this. You need to do it right now. You know? Melt down that golden statue. You know those homeless people that you have dragged off into jail? Show a little charity. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon?" Ah, it's been a year. It's kind of faded from his mind. And his pride is, I'm sure he was terrified first few months. You know what? This really isn't going to happen. Judgment will come. If God says it, it will come in God's time. He's walking through his throne room and says, am I not the greatest king in the world? Is this not the greatest kingdom? And I got my fancy smoking jacket on here. Everything is good. Everything in the house that I have built of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Pride. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Wow, I bet you every hair on his body stood up. And immediately he remembered the dream, I guarantee you, and the interpretation that Daniel had given him. "And they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. Then shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And seven times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. So immediately, there was a coup in the kingdom. He was driven out and driven mad by God. Lived out in the field, naked, eating as an ox eats for 7 years. And he says here in his own writing, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me." Can you imagine being half crazy, but still having consciousness in there, but unable to have control over your body? It's an analogy of the spirit man trying to maintain control over this flesh. It's a battle, a struggle. And for 7 years, the man inside there was watching through the eyes of himself being a wild man, naked. I'm sure the finest people from Babylon came by in their chariots to view the naked great king Nebuchadnezzar. What's that do for his pride? You know? I guarantee you, he's a different man after this. No pride could survive that. Running around the field naked for 7 years. No baths. No haircuts. Eating things you pick up off the ground. Pride will end you there, Christian. Pride will end you in a ditch somewhere. There's very few sins that immediately rise up to heaven other than pride, you know. God mitigates a lot of our sins right here on earth. You let pride arise up in the heart that is supposed to be following God, you're in for a true reckoning with the Almighty. "So mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What dost thou? Big difference from when he said, Whose God can protect them from me? Now he says there is none who can protect anyone from him. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. It's a little debate about how he was removed from the throne. A lot of theologians think a minor coup happened within his government. Others think that he just flat out went mad and ran off. I'm kind of inclined to believe that one, just from his writings here. You know, what do you do when the king turns mad, strips down naked, and runs out of the throne room? Do we send the guards to bring him back? This is King Nebuchadnezzar. You get out of line with him, he'll kill you. Or do we let him frolic around the field naked? Mm-hmm. I think they let him frolic around the field naked for 7 years, while Daniel and the rest of them looked to the affairs of the kingdom. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor of the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Like I said, chapter 4, written by Nebuchadnezzar himself. A servant of God, not a Christian at the time, but the analogy is there. Servant of God who allows other things, other gods in his life, and also allows pride, swelled up essence of oneself. And I have a story to tell about this. Studied this Bible for years, and got a little OCS cooking in my brain, become obsessed with certain little things, and I became obsessed with it, and I read it. I read 3 or 4 years, 30 chapters every day, and I finished the Bible over and over, 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 sometimes in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, finish it and start again. And I became prideful. Every time I heard a preacher talk, every time I heard a sermon, some little thing just wasn't, that's not exactly right there, Billy. I still catch myself today, and I try not to. But Paul said, you know, when all of the apostles started their churches, and they were arguing, oh, well, John says it like this, and Peter says it like this. We like the way we like that little thing that Peter's doing. No. He says, you look over the little things. We are humans. We're fallible. You look over the things to the redemption through Christ. It's very hard to get that part wrong. Although some have, denominations have twisted this book into unrecognizable things. But you look past the little things that religion has established. Some of the apostles were mixing the law in with holiness. Yes, I know. Sanctify Sunday. Make sure you do your cooking on Saturday. I don't mean to dwell on this one, but it's the easiest one that they tend to cling to. They'll overlook a lot of the other parts of the law and claim Sunday as their saving grace. If you cling to the law, you're telling Jesus Christ what he done wasn't enough. The Bible says if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. Christ came to set it aside for you and give you the freedom of the first covenant which God had given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart. Christ says, follow me with all your heart. Paul says all things are legal through the redemption of Christ. Not all things are good for the Christian, though. And if you follow God with your heart, you'll know. Nebuchadnezzar, was right there in the beginning of his walk with God, knows who God is, knows the power of the one true God, but had things in his life that he would not turn loose of, and pride was a big one. Pride will destroy you. Pride will bring the judgment of God upon you. And like I said, I'd become so proudful of the knowledge that I had gotten out of this book, the little secrets that I'd found, that I was finding error in every preacher that I heard. God doesn't like that, you know. That man's out there doing the best that he can, trying to serve the Almighty God in his capacity. I'm sorry he hadn't read the book enough, but you know what? There are people that are going to come to God's kingdom because of him. He is faultless. And I was finding fault, and it was pride inside me. And I tell you what, it still astonishes me today, because for 3 or 4 years, I never missed 30 chapters a day of reading this book. And then one day, something happened, and I didn't read that day. And I didn't touch it again for 5 or 6 years. God took it away from me. So this thing here is my book. Your studying of my book is causing pride inside you. I'll fix that. This thing that you do every day to puff yourself up, I'll take it away from you. And he did. It was a long time before he gave it back to me. And he only gave it back to me after I understood that the wisdom he's given me out of reading this book so many times is not meant to be prideful. It's meant to instruct. It's meant to bring understanding to those who don't understand. It doesn't matter if it's a good thing in your life. If it becomes prideful, it will bring judgment upon you, Christian. Watch for pride in your life. Been in the book of Daniel today, having a lot of good conversation. You've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.